Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Shari Class Learning on Leil, the fourth night of Chanukah. The fourth night of Chanukah, we are learning Lulu Nishmasa and the Zecha Nishmasa, Miriam Frill and Miriam Beskai Mitzchak, Allah HaLasham, and Hashem should have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning on this very heated, powerful, auspicious time. Am I saying it right? Auspicious. Time for the Geula to just please Ribbono Shel Olam should just come. So I just wanted to start with a story. I don't know if it's really related to our learning. It's actually related to what I was saying before I turned on the recorder about being a person of action and not just being a passive person. Identify a problem and trying to take change. I just finished this book. I really recommend it. It's called Rebbe by Joseph Tulushkin about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It just gave me a whole new insight, really, into Chabad and the work that they do into the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It was really quite amazing. I told my husband last night we should become Chabad. It was a half joke. But now it was just really fascinating. So I just want to share one story that's related to Chanukah, to begin Shia. In the case of Rabbi Shabsi Katz, the Rebbe is concerned that an opportunity be seized immediately caused him to push the rabbi to do something almost every one of us would be exceedingly uncomfortable doing. When Rabbi Katz, a rabbi in Pretoria, and the head of the Jewish chaplain for South Africa's Department of Prisons, came to visit the Lubavitcher Rebbe in December 1978, the rabbi started discussing with him the situation of Jewish prisoners in South Africa. Many were incarcerated for political offenses. Rabbi Katz explained conditions were much harsher than in the United States. The only holidays they were excused from labor was Pesach, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. On the first two, Pesach and Rosh Hashanah, the rabbi, the chaplain, was allowed to bring some food parcels to the prisoners. What about Chanukah? The rabbi asked, are they permitted to light Chanukah candles? Rabbi Katz said, no, they weren't. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe started to speak about how important it was for a person in jail to be able to light a menorah. Do you realize how much that little bit of light would mean to a person in prison in a dark cell? How important it would be if he could light the Chanukah candles? Can't you arrange for the prisoners to light Chanukah candles? Impressed by the Rebbe's words, Rabbi Katz promised when he returns to South Africa, because he was in New York at 770, he would start negotiating with General Shepton, the religious director of prison, to ensure that the following Chanukah, the Jews would be able to light Chanukah candles. What about this Chanukah? The Rebbe retorted. Rabbi Katz was taken aback. It was a day before the holiday. He said to the Rebbe, I'm in New York. I'm thousands of miles away. There's nothing I could do. Chanukah's tomorrow. The Rebbe didn't agree. He said to Rabbi Katz, as soon as the meeting ended, you should use one of the telephones in the outer office to make a phone call. It's the middle of the night in South Africa, Rabbi Katz explained. Do you expect me to call the general at 3 or 4 in the morning? The rabbi said, yes, now's precisely the right time to call. When the general, who was an ordained, this relates to what I was talking about before I turned on the recording, actually. When the general, who was an ordained minister in the Dutch Reformed Church, saw the matter was so important to Katz, he would surely be impressed by the urgency, said the rabbi. As soon as Katz left the rabbi's office, the secretary escorted him to a small office. He showed him the phones and he said, make your phone calls. Rabbi Katz called his secretary in Pretoria. He said, find the home phone number for General Shepton, and call him, and tell him he's getting an we also have to remember, this is 1978, he's getting an international call from the United States. When he called Shepton a few minutes later, the general was prepared for the call. He was a little curious what was so important that Rabbi Katz was calling from the United States in the middle of the night. Rabbi Katz said he'd just been meeting with a rabbi who was a leader of the Jewish people, who was extremely concerned about the Jews in the South African prisons. He said it would be so important if they could light Chanukah candles. Doing so would bring them light and hope. To Rabbi Katz's surprise, General Shepton answered he understood from the call. It was overseas. It was the middle of the night. The matter must be so urgent. He would go into his office in the morning and telex all the prison facilities in South Africa that they should make it possible for Jewish prisoners to light Chanukah candles that night. The following morning, when the rabbi came to 770, Rabbi Katz was waiting on the foyer. He had the pleasure of telling him the mission was successful. The rabbi smiled broadly, and he told Katz, I want to see you again in a short while. This time, when Rabbi Katz entered the rabbi's office, the rabbi said, in New York, the state with the largest Jewish population, Jewish prisoners were not allowed to light Chanukah candles. I'd like you to do something about that, said the rabbi. For the second time in 24 hours, Rabbi Katz was taken aback. First of all, it's December 24th. Hanukkah was starting in a few hours. Second of all, unlike South Africa, where he was a chaplain, so he knew who to contact, in New York, he had no connection to the prison system at all. Where would he even start? You want to hear the end of the story? Okay, it's amazing. Should I keep going?
Yes.
Okay. The rabbi told him, go to Rabbi J.J. Hecht's office. If you didn't read the book, it takes a while to get through. It's quite kedai. Got to Rabbi J.J. Hecht's office. He had some knowledge of the matter. He would know who to contact. He gave Katz information. He reached a man at the office at his holiday party. Remember, it's December 24th. The official was taken aback. But as was the case with the prison official in South Africa, he said if the rabbi was calling at such an inconvenient time, just before their major holiday, the issue should be taken seriously. When Katz said he was able to work out the matter with the prison official in South Africa, a country that was known to be quite repressive, the official concluded he could do so in New York as well. Rabbi Katz had the pleasure of telling the rabbi yet again the mission had succeeded. The rabbi gave him a beautiful bound edition of Tanya for his son. When Rabbi Katz said he didn't want a gift, the rabbi said, I don't want to owe debts. Okay? Oh, when he went to General Septon, when he returned to South Africa, he said to him, when I heard that your rabbi, sitting there in Brooklyn, in America, was thinking about me and the prisoners, I felt I had to resolve the matter as quickly as possible. So it really does relate to what we were speaking about. What I was speaking about before I turned the corner, since I said it about four times already, is related to really Yosef, who is the Hanukkah Jew. This is a story about Hanukkah. Yosef's story is always read on the holy time, on Shabbos Hanukkah, right before Shabbos Hanukkah. Yosef is a dreamer, Yosef's a visionary, and he knows from the dreams of the butler and the baker, one is going to death and one is going to life. The baker is three baskets on his head, birds are eating from the basket, he's not doing anything about it. The butler is squeezing grapes, i.e. extracting juice, to present to Paro. How does Yosef know the baker is going to death and the butler is going to life? I don't remember where I heard this insight. Did one of the kids bring it home a few years ago? I don't remember where I heard this insight, but it's very impactful. The baker was a passive person, totally passive. He was doing nothing. He dreamed of a problem. He foresaw. He had a vision. Anyone could have a vision. Anyone could have a dream. He didn't do anything about it. He didn't even attempt to shoo away the birds. He's just standing there. The butler was given grapes and said, what can I do in life? Yosef was teaching us. It's really such an inspirational story that, and I related it. I told it over at the Shiva House this afternoon to one of the daughters of Dr. Richie Friedman, Alva Shalom Zichoro Levracha, that in life, so many of us, it's so easy to identify a problem. This needs to be fixed. That needs to be fixed. We can talk a lot about the issues that we see. The shidduch system needs to be fixed, and the education system needs to be fixed, and the tuition needs to be fixed, and hatzalah needs to be fixed. We spend so much time sometimes talking. It's nice to expound and expound and expound and expound. You have to make sure you bring your dreams to fruition. That was Yosef HaTzadik. That's how he knew that the butler was going for life. And I thought it was a very impactful story. So what if it's the night before? And so what if he's Christian? And so what if it's 3 a.m.? And so what if it's Hanukkah the next night? Let's try. Yes?
Well, it's like you, the other story with Elie Beer.
Unbelievable.
Mishpacha. I have to read it.
If anyone has Mishpacha of last week, read the cover story about Elie Beer. It's unbelievable. Who organized United Hatzalah, the umbrella organization of United Hatzalah in Israel. If you can get Mishpacha, read the interview with him. It's amazing. It's a strong lesson. It's a strong inspiration. It's also strong with Mr. Haskell. We have to be people. The Rebbe Shalom wants us to be people who affect change. Moshe Rabbeinu was called upon to be a shotev, if you will, with God in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem could do everything he wants, by himself, anything he wants. What does he require, Kaviach? He doesn't require people. Oh, what does he require people for? That's the way Hashkacha works, that the Rebbe Shalom requires our hishtadlos. It's not enough to sit around. If we take resolve, if we want to change, if it's tikkun amidos, if it's increased Torah learning, if it's being better in tefillah, if it's being more patient with our children, if it's being kinder, whatever it is, it's not enough to say, I see the problem. That's one stage, by the way. It's very important to be self-aware. But then we have to really resolve to make change. And that's one of the things that Yosef teaches us, the Hanukkah Jew, yes.
You also reflect back on the discussion we had about Noach and Moshe.
Very nice.
Noach didn't really do anything. He just was very passive. And
very nice.
He was a leader.
That's exactly right. And he's not the leader of Knesset. Very nice. Absolutely true. Okay, let's go. I love the story. That was incredible. A tzaddik falls seven times and rises. Okay? yes. All right. So the last thing we said, we conclude with a very cute, humorous, it made us smile. I don't know if I should use the word cute. It made us smile, the story of Chaim Kanievsky Shlita and his Rabbitson, and he went to visit her after Shavuos. Everyone here remember the story? He said, it was Ruti. She said, who's Ruti? Said our daughter, because last thing we read, the mechaber, is that the husband buys a purchase and he doesn't tell his wife. A tzaddik falls seven times and rises. Tzaddik yipol sheva v'kam u'rishayim yikashlu b'ra'a. Tzaddik falls seven times and he can get up again. The tzaddik, the godless of the tzaddik, is that he rises after sin, whereas the rasha cannot pick himself back up. And this stumbling block is under your hands. It's a pasuk from Yeshayahu, v'hamachshela hazos tachas yadecha. This stumbling block, tachas yadecha, is under your hands. Based on the deeper meaning of this pasuk, Chazal conclude in the Gemara, we're on the bottom of page 144. One does not stand on the truth of the Torah's words until he first stumbles on them. So I did look up, it's from Gittin, there's a footnote there, it's from Gittin, okay? So I looked up the Gemara. So Rashi says on the Gemara, if a sage stumbles and rules incorrectly and he's rebuked by his colleagues, he will concentrate more fully till he understands the matter. So in other words, if one stumbles, if one gets it wrong, if one doesn't do it right the first time, and he is rebuked by his colleagues, he will fully contemplate and concentrate till he understands the matter better. So we have to be careful with that. Because on the one hand, hocheich tochiach esamitacha, but why hocheich tochiach? Why the double lashon, parshas kadoshim? Because first you should be hocheich yourself. First rebuke yourself, then when you are on the level where you feel you can rebuke others. I'm not talking about the Rashi because that's of a stage. I'm talking about us. That's regarding the sage who stumbles rebuked by his colleagues. I'm talking about us on our level. We have to be careful when it comes to giving rebuke to other people, because on the one hand, you know the expression in English, the pot's calling the kettle black, or in the Lashon of Chazal, Mum Shabacha Al Tomer Lecharecha, who am I to give somebody else rebuke? On the other hand, if you know that it's a person in your life who can handle the rebuke, who can accept the rebuke, who will contemplate the matter more fully till he understands, then it is appropriate to give the rebuke because it can lead us to change. If I fall and I'm on the path to rising by someone else's rebuke, I mentioned it yesterday that one of my children said to me 2 weeks ago, it was Friday and it was feeling very tense, and one of the kids said to me, I mentioned this with one of the children present, one of the children said to me, Mommy, you're getting very nervous. It's not pleasant. That's a direct quote. That's a rebuke. That's a tochach. I have to be able to hear that. I have to be able to contemplate the matter. I have to be able to understand it fully to rise from that. That's a direct quote. The depth of this comment is that obstacles and stumbling blocks are inseparable from our vote. And it's so important for us to realize that. Because if we have a picture, a vision, a dream, where our avoda will always be perfect, we're really setting ourselves up for failure. When Yaakov Avinu had his famous dream, he's one of the patriarchs, also a dream. Interestingly, he's Yosef's father. Okay? V'hine sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magia hashamayma. We are people who are mutzav arza. We are earthly-based, gashmistic people. We always have to be sure we're striving towards the heavens. Rosho magia hashamayma is my head in the heavens. Yosef's head was in the heavens. He dreamed of the stars and the moon. He dreamed of ruchni's success. V'hine malachei elkim olim v'yardim ba. And it's a word that maybe you have heard before, but it is worth retelling, that in our avodas Hashem, it's not a continuous aliyah. There will be aliyah, 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 and there will be yirida, but the yirida itself, as the mechaber is going to go on to explain, is part of the aliyah. The yirida, the fall, actually leads to us rising to higher heights. The depth of this comment, if we can, as Rashi says on the Gemara there, if we can concentrate and contemplate and think about the matter fully, if it's an impetus for change, then the yirida can be an aliyah. Maybe the next time I'll do something different. Maybe I'll learn from my mistake, how to correct it. Maybe I will ensure I'm not in that situation where I'm getting very unpleasant because I feel like a Shabbos in 5 seconds and I'm not ready. We have to contemplate the matter from the fall. We have to re-rise. The depth of this comment is that therefore obstacles and stumbling box are inseparable from our avodah. Should be a big point of chizuk. The Mechaber is saying we're not perfect. We're never not going to stumble. We saw Yitzchok Kuttner's Pachad Yitzchak last week. It says in the pasuk, a tzaddik falls seven times and rises. You must know, not only may one fall in the realm of action, but in ratzon, will, in thought and speech as well. And I think, I could be wrong, I think that it's easier and more common in observant Jews who are trying to the best of our ability to follow the action, I think it's more common to fall in ratzon thought and speech than in action. The kitchen shaila, I asked right away. I also got a kitchen shaila, you were there. I called right away. It was 3 hours before Shabbos. I called one, my rabbi, I couldn't get him, I tried another, I finally got my rabbi. But I think it's more common to fall in ratzon thought and speech, in the will to do something, in the thought process for me, for sure, and speech. I'm asking you. I'm yes, I'm no. In action, if we're following the halacha, it's not as hard. I'm not nichshol to the best of my ability or knowledge in basar b'chalav. That's action. I'm not nichshol, and it's not even a nisayim for me. To the best of my ability, I try and wash properly. To the best of my ability, if I know to take arba minim properly, I am mafresh challah, I ask the challah, how much challah, wrap it up, make sure it's not exposed, double wrap it foil, burn it. Do you understand what I'm saying? But in machshava, in dibur, someone at the Nautilus said something so profound to me. We were talking about koach dibur. Oh, because Yosef, lo dachu dab b'lishalom, v'yavei Yosef is dibasar ma'alaviyam. So someone last week at the Nautilus, elderly gentleman, said to me, it's the hardest thing in the world to keep your mouth shut. And I said to him, it's so well said. It's so right on target. It's so much easier to fall in the realm for me in will, thought, and speech. You know, some days you feel like a better Eved Hashem, you feel more on fire. Some days you feel more lackadaisical. Is that the right word? Lackluster. That's what I was looking for. These seven falls exist in every realm. And my own sefer actually underlined that seven times. Knowing this, however, means that no matter how many times you fall, you must get up and try again. Remember we said last week, no child ever learning to learn said, gee, when he fell down. And what did he say? This didn't work out for me. I think I'll stay on the floor. What does the child do? Picks himself up and says, I'm going to try again. Ram Hani, Allah HaShalom. I want to tell you a story. I'm quoting her. It's the gray. It's her words. I want to tell you a story. Rabbitson Leah Cook said one time, she took it up, by the way, if this doesn't apply to you, it's not the point. There's a point to the story. Okay, if you don't like the chumrah that she took about herself, that's fine. Rabbitson Leah Cook said one time she took upon herself not to read even kosher newspapers on Shabbos because she wants to concentrate all on the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, please, okay, just let's be broad-minded. One Shabbos she was passing the table, there was a kosher newspaper that one of her kids was reading. She passed by it. She read a certain headline for 30 seconds at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's it. After Shabbos, a woman came to her and she said, Rabbitson Cook, I'm so broken. I've been Shomer Shabbos for 4 years. Today at 4 o'clock, I felt weakness. I smoked a cigarette. So Rabbitson Cook said to her, it wasn't you. It wasn't your fault. Don't feel bad. Just do teshuvah. She felt even in this teeny tiny way, she affected the people who are connected to her neshama. By her being nechshal, she felt that she caused another Jew to be nechshal. Not on purpose. But the neshamas are connected. I want to tell you something, continues Henny. When you hold back from what you're not supposed to do, whatever it is, you affect your parents, your children, and all the people in the generation who are connected to you. We're all connected. It's a very scary thing. I'll tell you something very interesting. In a totally different class, I'm teaching one of the Sfarim of the Chafetz Chaim. And on Monday, half ago, the last class, we just learned the Chafetz Chaim says, listen to this, with the power of words, if you hold back, you can amass chusim for previous generations. He says something startling, actually, that previous generations were certainly nechshal in Koach HaDibur, in Shmir Salashan, and if you hold back, you can bring credit to the neshamas of those ancestors who came before. You can reach them a higher level in the Olam HaEmes. So Hani is saying, all neshamas are connected. So whatever I do, and by the way, the Chavetz Chaim says, the Sefer Kuntzos HaChodesh HaShmir, I'm affecting other people. So now Hani says, and again, I don't know if this applies to us or not, but just listen. Yesterday morning, I got up on Shabbos, and there was a big, juicy, luscious looking piece of cake, said Honey. So today we could say it was a donut. It was mousse cake, and I had a feeling I should not eat it. It wasn't good for me. It was before davening. And she clarifies, even though I'm Hasidish, if I'm very hungry, I can eat before I daven. I felt I shouldn't eat it. And I heard a voice saying, Honey, don't eat it. It's not good for you. Anyway, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I eat it. Something, I don't know, maybe you can relate to, maybe you can't relate to. Don't have another one. Don't have another one. Don't take the first stone in the first place. I saw a very cute, you know, what are they called? Those things that are passed around on WhatsApp, like pictures. So I saw a very cute one. Lemisha lo hevim. Did anyone see it? Lemisha lo hevim. Sufgania zelo antibiotica. Lo tzarich lakachat shtayim bayam lemeshach shmona yamim. For those, I'm reading in English. Lemisha lo hevim. For those who don't understand, sufgania zelo antibiotica. Everyone should understand that. Sufgania is not antibiotics. You do not need to take two every day for 8 days. Okay, so honey fowl, don't eat it, don't eat it, don't eat it. Anyway, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I ate it. So after that, I felt bad. I was disappointed in myself. I didn't do the right thing. When we don't eat cake, again, please, substitute, okay? For her, at that moment, it was a personal weakness. Whatever the weakness you were going through, you never have the experience, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, and then what's the next thing that happens? You just said it. But didn't I just spend 30 seconds, 15 seconds, 10 seconds telling myself, don't say it, don't say it, and then what happens? You just said it. When we don't eat cake, or substitute your nisayon, we're saying, I want my neshama to be stronger than my body. I want my ratzon to be stronger than my guf. And this relates to what the Mechaber says. The Mechaber says that sin and falling is not only in action, it's more in machshava, ratzon, and dibra. I think it's harder to conquer. It's so hard. It's something we've spoken about in this class before. So hard to conquer ratzon, machshava, and dibra. Why did I succumb to this taiva to eat the cake, says Henny. So when I did his bodedus after shachos at 11 a.m., I said, listen, Ribono Sha'olam, I'm sorry. I fell, but please don't be distant from me. You know, I didn't mean it. I'm just human. This is how we are. I'm sorry. So Hani says, I did teshuva. And today she says, some, and by the way, that's what Mechaber is going to say on this page. He's going to continue by saying that even though we fall, we have to be able to pick ourselves back up again. Today someone came to my house. He's about teshuva. He's been friend for a while. He told me Shabbos morning at 8, and he's going back to the fact that all the neshamas are connected. He couldn't overcome his taiva. He texted someone on his cell phone. So this guy told me that all the times he's texted on Shabbos, afterwards, he would feel like, that's it. He would take off his yarmulke, he would be mechal Shabbos all day. He figured it's all or none. If I texted on Shabbos, I may as well not keep. Hashem doesn't want to hear from me anyway. If I miss a mincha, your yitzhar might say so, you may as well miss the next few also. Once you missed, God's not interested in you. But he said yesterday after he texted, he caught himself. At 11, which is when Henny was doing his bodus and saying, Hashem, please forgive me, he got up and he went to shul. And he said, Hashem, I know you love me. You know I love you. I don't know what happened. I lost it. I texted on Shabbos and I'm sorry. And the rest of Shabbos, he did everything he was supposed to do. We're all connected to each other, says Henny. That's what I want to tell you. So when you want to do what you're not supposed to do, remember you're affecting other neshamos. Also, we have to remember, certainly it's frightening because when we see such tremendous people afflicted with nisyonos and sorrows, and when we see tzaddik v'ralo, and if all neshamos are connected, a person who's such a baal chesed, baal tzedaka, dedicated to tzarichit sibur, amuna. So I have to ask myself, is it possible, Rachmana Litzlan, that I did something negative that the Ribbono Sha'olam wasn't happy with? If all the Shamas are connected, did my Yerida Chalila affect Knesset Yisrael? Everyone has to ask themselves. But furthermore, what we also understand from the story is that even if we fall, Mommy, you're getting very nervous, it's very unpleasant. Imagine being told that a few hours before Shabbos. But this fall exists in every realm. However, no matter how many times you fall, you have to get up and try again. We cannot give up on ourselves. No matter how many times. I said it. I have to believe that what? That the next time? Hello? I won't say it. Which actually reminds me of I wasn't planning to say this, or maybe I would have prepared ahead of time. No connection. I'm afraid to turn the connection to tell you the story, because what happened last time I did that?
Or speaking that.
Stop touching the recorder. It won't load. Okay. Okay, so I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to quote the story this time. Maybe if I remember next time, Blee Nader. Let's go. Any questions or comments? Yes. So the eighth time, it's a very good question. The eighth time is Lamala Min HaTeva. He's going to talk about that actually in the next sentence. The eighth time is Lamala Min HaTeva. Because the world, there are seven Rakiyas, the world was created in 7 days. Seven is nature. Once you fall, but it doesn't literally mean seven. Halavai, we should only fall seven times, let's say in Lashon Hara. Could you imagine if I only, since my bas mitzvah was nechshal seven times? So it's a proverbial seven times. But once you conquer that teva, you reach a point where it's the malam in a teva, and then it's not any sign for you anymore. That makes sense? For example, yeah?
I see it differently. I see okay. It that it's tzaddik, even though he falls seven times, he's the one who keeps getting up. And the Rasha is the one who kind of like gets stuck in the mud and says, okay, you know what, I fell, I'm going to sit here.
So therefore, how's that different from what I'm saying?
The tzaddik is the person who doesn't give up. And the Rasha is somebody who says, okay, you know what, I'm not cut out.
Isn't that what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you're saying
no, I'm not saying to argue with you. I'm saying you said I see it differently. What do you see differently?
Not that it's, oh, you get to a point of lamalam and
say it again.
Not that you get to a point of lamala minateva, it's just that overall striving is what defines the person.
But there is a point where you do conquer that particular nisayon. You might have an union with a different nisayon, but you do conquer that particular nisayon. I'll give you an example in the Gashmistic realm. When it's not Kislev, Blee Nader, I don't eat a donut a whole year. No, I'm saying something serious. I don't even have a taiva for a donut. I'm not holding myself back from not eating the donut. I literally cannot eat it. Rav Salvechik says, I used to be a jealous person. I worked on myself. Now I'm not jealous anymore. Rav Moshe Feinstein and his kaas, it's well known about his kaas. He says, I worked on myself his whole life. Rav Palm also tells over similarly in his biography, it is possible in certain inyanim to rise over that nisayon. And then it becomes almost lamala min hateva because you've conquered that inyan. It doesn't mean, halavai, you should be able to conquer the midos like I conquered donuts, halavai. But it doesn't mean you won't have a nisayon in a different inyan. But in that specific inyan, it becomes lamala min hateva. I just don't have a taiva for it anymore. I just don't want it anymore. There's a difference between not eating a donut. You want it, you hold back. Not speaking Lashon Hara, okay? You want to speak it, you don't speak it, you hold back. You wanted to, you don't. It's amazing, midah. Conquering the midah, we think of the Chafetz Chaim. I know Rav Hertner said in last week's letter that imagine the battles he struggled with. But at a certain point, we understand that the Chafetz Chaim, you lose your desire to speak Lashon Hara. My brother once said to Rav David Marcus, Rav David Marcus is the brother of Rav Shmuel Marcus from Landers and Queens. They are the grandchildren of Aaron Salvechik, that's all. David Marcus learned by Rav Yaakov Friedman in Beitar in Eretz Yisrael. So he went to Rav David Marcus, what should I do with Lashon Hara? So Rav David Marcus says, what do you mean, what should you do? Don't speak it. So do you understand? There is a level where you conquer the midah. That's the eighth. It becomes lamala min hateva. Your teva isn't that you even want it anymore. What do you mean lamala min hateva? Now you have Superman wings. Now you can fly across the world. Where did Superman come from? Some planet with kryptonite or something? What does that mean? That now you have that? No, it means literally you are lamala. Think about what the words are. Min hateva, i.e. the teva of Basar Vadam is to speak Lashon Hara. The Gemara says, taught her a week and a half ago in Shira. The Gemara says that all sins have in them avak lashon hara. So it doesn't mean you're lamala min hateva. You are above the natural teva of hamon am in this inyan. Doesn't mean you don't have another inyanim. In this inyan, what do you mean? What should you do about lashon hara? So Rav Marcus said, don't speak it. So for a person like that, so obvious. I once heard Rav Shai Shechter say in a shir, they asked his father, Shlita Rav Heschel Shechter, what should you do if you forgot to say, I've been reminding my kids for 2 days, v'sein tam matel v'racha, what should you do if you forgot? So Rav Heschel Shechter said, how could you forget? Do you understand? If you have kavana for every single word of Shmona Esrei, it's not possible to say the wrong thing. How could you forget? Yalva yavo. It means you're not paying attention. It's possible to, it's a whole new meaning of lamala min hateva. It doesn't mean you're Superman and you're above nature, like the Ribono Shel Olam is above nature. It means you are lamala from the teva of hamon am in that inyan. That's the eighth level. Wow. What an avoda. After the stage of Atzah, by the way, I was thinking it was so beautiful when I was preparing. Let's say I'm going to make a bracha. You know, did I make a bracha? What do you mean? Are you paying attention? You're not paying attention. You're asleep in life like the baker, or you're awake in life like the Sara Mashkim. So I was thinking a lot since Parsha class about the final stanza of Ma'us Sur. He archalanu ha-Yeshua, ve'in keitz li'yimei ha-ra'ah, d'chei admon b'tzal tzamon, push the enemy into the shade of death, hakeim lanu ro'im shiva. Establish for us the seven shepherds, ultimately, after we finish falling, who will come to redeem us, tzadik pol sheva v'kam, the ultimate tzadikim will come, the seven shepherds will come and take us out of our continuous fall. Do we remember who they are, that I could say them? Adam, Mesushalach, Sheis, and Noach. No, not Adam, David in the middle. David HaMelech says, we're in the middle. Adam, Sheis, Mesushalach, to his right. Moshe, Yaakov, and I don't remember the seventh. It's from the Gemara. Yaakov, Moshe, and David's in the middle.
I thought it was Abraham, Yitzhak.
Not this seven. That's who Shpizin, right. No. No, this is from the Gemara. I looked it up for a different year. My point is, Hakim Lanu Roim Shiva, let the seven shepherds come and lead us out of these seven falls to the ultimate redemption. Because, by the way, in the ultimate redemption, then we would really be the Malamina Teva. Lamalamina Teva, and Ruchnius, the Gemara says that in the end of days, Hashem will slay the Yetzirah. The Tzaddikim will cry, says the Gemara, and the Rishayim will cry. The Rishayim will say, that was the Yetzirah, I couldn't conquer. And the Tzaddikim will say, that was the Yetzirah, I couldn't conquer. Look how great he was, look how smart he was, what happened to me? In the end of days, the Yetzirah will be conquered. So we'll be Lamalamina Teva, because there will no be no Yetzirah, but we will also be Lamalamina Teva, because we will be in a different realm of existence. After the stage of a tzaddik falls seven times and rises, when one reaches the eighth time, now clarification, parentheses, not necessarily in a literal sense, okay? Obviously for people on our level, for myself, it doesn't mean seven times. The eighth level, which transcends nature, all the merits of the many tests come together. As Aleph said, you know this Ma'amar Chazal very well. In the place where the Bali Teshuva stand, the perfect tzaddikim cannot stand. Every person is essentially a penitent, or I should say that every person should be essentially a penitent due to his former sins. And when he rises, he repents for the seven falls that came before. His repentance receives the light of the seven falls. So what the Mechaber is saying is that the seven falls actually bring you to a higher place. Machlacha Elokim Olim V'yardimba. And then Olim again, when they come, the fall propels us to greater heights. Without the fall, you can't reach higher heights. Rakam Shabbat Shuvah Omdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Omdim. Because without the fall, we can't reach those higher heights. If a person has reached the stage of being a tzaddik, but does not include his earlier seven falls, he loses the high level of where Bali Tshuva stand, perfect tzaddikim cannot stand. We can't negate our falls. We shouldn't deny our falls. We have to utilize them to bring us up to higher levels. And I can, if we're aware of them. The light that one receives from the, you know, it's the falls that spur us on. I'm going back to the donut example. If I ate like that joke, right? So if you're nichshol, I'm putting that in quotes, in donuts, then being nichshol makes you want to reach a higher level. It's the impetus for growth, and it's the impetus for change. When you realize, a person might realize, hopefully, you know, I'm a Baal Lashon Hara, Chas V'Sham. I'm a person who constantly tells Lashon Hara, I can't take it anymore. I'm not happy with myself. Being unhappy with yourself spurs you on to further growth. But if you think everything is perfect with yourself, then how will you ever reach higher heights? The higher heights can only come from acknowledging I fell. I need to change. I was impatient. I spoke Lashon Hara. I wasn't kind enough. I was judgmental. Whatever it was, I was angry. The Salvation says he was jealous. If I acknowledge my fall, it can lead me to the most highest heights. If a person has reached a stage, the light that one receives from the tests and the falls, whether they be one's will, ratzon, thought, machshava, speech, deeper, or action, maisa, is a great light that is essential if one is to acquire anything. So we shouldn't think that the fall is a strike against us as long as we use it to propel us forward. So I'm going to quote from Rav Salvechik now. Any questions or comments? No? Okay. of Zalvechik says, okay, I'm quoting from Machzor Masoris HaRav Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we say, where the Pasuk says, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha V'nashu V'chad Eishem Eini Kekedem. Where's that Pasuk from, by the way, the very end of? Echa, very nice. The very end is Megillas Echa. Ki im ma'os me'astanu, katsafta aleinu ad ma'od. Because if you have utterly rejected us, Hashem, you have angered against us enough. We couldn't say that. Father Miguel could say that. Yirmiyahu could say that. Isn't it enough? Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha V'nashu V'chad Eishyameinu Kekedem. One characteristic of Hashem, says Rav Salvejik, is the ease with which he affects complete restoration. For man, it is harder to rebuild than to build from scratch. The Torah emphasizes the calamity of if your brother becomes poor, the acute misfortune of becoming poor, as opposed to simply being poor, is due to the experience of loss. Building a new business is accompanied by enthusiasm. Rebuilding a bankrupt business is far more difficult. The tragedy of old age, the tragedy of infirmity, is the necessity of relearning how to perform tasks and actions. We can attempt to build a substitute structure, but we can never restore the majesty of the original. This is true in the physical realm. In the physical realm, it is very difficult to rebuild. It's hard for us to rebuild. It's easier to build the first time. Think of if you bake a cake, or if you bake challahs, you're so excited the first time. Let's say it flops. What happens after it flops? Go to the bakery. Do I feel like putting in my whole effort, my whole avodah? That's a very small example. It's so frustrating. It didn't work out. It's harder to rebuild. What did you say?
Try again. Try again.
Yes. Yes. That's the point. We should try again, but sometimes it's just easier to give up. This idea is illustrated in the following quote from Ezra, Per Gimel, describing the conflicting response, listen to this, of the Jewish people upon dedication of the second Beis HaMikdash. Many of the elder Kohanim, Leviim, and heads of families who beheld the first Beis HaMikdash, what was the reaction of those who saw the first Beis HaMikdash?
They cried.
They wept loudly when the second Beis HaMikdash was before their eyes. While many, the young generation, who never saw the first Beis HaMikdash, raised their voice in joyous shouting. There was so much joyful shouting of the youth, they didn't even hear the sound of the people's weeping. Why were they crying? Because the first temple surpassed the second temple. The revelation of the divine presence, the Ark of the Covenant, the Aron, a bris, there was no Urim v'Turim, there was no heavenly fire. And so those who saw the first temple in all its majesty cried when they saw the second temple. It's much harder of Salvechik's first establishing principle. It's true in Ruchnius and it's true in Gashmius. It's much harder to rebuild than to build the first time around. To Hashem, however, rebuilding is as easy as building. And herein lies the difference between the return of Ezra to Israel and the final redemption. The final redemption will be wrought by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore it will be a complete one. It will not lack anything. Because for Hashem, it's not difficult to rebuild, and it's not difficult to build. Hashem can do whatever He wants. Everything that existed in the Mishkan in the first place of Mikdash will be restored in the end of days. What does that have to do with us and Teshuvah? According to Rav Chaim of Volozhiner, there is no truer temple than the personality of the individual. I have to make myself into a makom mishkan. Vasuli mikdash v'shechanti b'socham. The divine presence, the Shechina, resides within us. Quote, sin involves the removal of Hashem's presence from within the individual. Sin involves the removal of Hashem's presence from within the individual. If we really believed that, if we really felt that, so I ask you, would we ever sin? If you really felt that every time you're sinning, you're banishing Hashem for your God, and Vayishmus kol Hashem Elokim Mesalik Bagan the Ruach Hayom. Salvechik says, Iker Shechina was supposed to be, quoting the Medrash. The Medrash says it was supposed to be Iker Shechina Batachtonim, but after Adam and Isha sinned, what does it mean, Vayishmus kol Hashem Elokim Mesalik Bagan the Ruach Hayom, Vayichabe Adam B'Ishto? What does it mean? Why did they hear God walking in the garden? What do they hear Hashem doing? Leaving. Hashem can no longer be with man in the presence of sin. Sin is the removal of God's presence from within the individual. Sin is equated with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. In a real sense, in a spiritual sense, the sinner does to himself what Nebuzaradan and Titus did to the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Can you imagine? I'm destroying myself. It's a Churban Mikdash. Who's the Churban? Me. Who did it? Me. However, if sin is equated with destruction, then what is Teshuvah? Rebuilding. And Teshuvah is equivalent to reconstruction. But what type of reconstruction? The second Beis HaMikdash, which was lacking, or the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be perfect and pure? Which one do you think? The what?
It depends which part you're up to. If you're saying that someone's going to stumble seven times, and that's a lot of time to build in the second Beis HaMikdash.
If we say someone stumbles seven times,
then it's not just like the second Beis HaMikdash. There's like part two, part two A, part two B, until you get to the third Beis HaMikdash.
So which Beis HaMikdash are you? Well, no, but I'm talking about Teshuvah. When you do the Teshuvah, is it a partial restoration or a complete?
Depends on how sincere your Teshuvah is. Like, could be like the second.
Okay, so we hope it's sincere right. Teshuvah. It doesn't mean you're going to stumble again, but generally when we undertake Teshuvah, at that moment,
yes.
You really mean it. At that moment, you really want it. At that moment, yes, we're human beings. Yes, we might stumble again, but at that moment, you want it. According to the Rashbam, the reconstruction of the human being through the process of rising up again is equated with the third Beis HaMikdash. Quote, one who does teshuva should not feel distant from the level of the righteous. In fact, the Gemara says they're above the level of the righteous because of sins and transgressions. He is loved and dear before the Creator as if he has never sinned. Such is the goddess of tzad. By the way, note, he's called a tzaddik. Tzaddik doesn't say Adam or Ish. Yipol Shavavakam. He is identified as a tzaddik for the ability to rise again. Rav Soloveitchik says, if sin is churban Beis HaMikdash, then what is teshuvah? Binyan Beis HaMikdash. What kind of binyan? A partial binyan where you're still lacking, or a complete binyan? But this is something we have to believe for ourselves. We cannot allow our Yetzer Hara to talk us out of hope. I'm talking to myself. You cannot let your Yetzer Hara convince you that the Ribbono Shel Olam does not want to hear from you, like that Baal Tshuva and Henny's story. He said, so the rest of the time, when I sin on Shabbos, I never pick myself back up. You cannot let Yetzer Hara convince you that just because you spoke Lashon Hara, you said, this time you're really not going to say it again. We have to appreciate the gift of repentance, the gift of rising up again, that the Ribbono Shel Olam always takes us back, and it's as if we have built the third Beis HaMikdash. The light that one receives from the test and the falls, by the way, he's talking about light and it's Chanukah, and we've noted a number of times how relevant and beautiful it is that where we are up to in the Sefer relates to the time period of year. The light that one receives from the test and the falls, whether they be in my Ratzon, whether they be in my Machshava, whether it's in my Dibur or my Maisa, is a great light that is essential if one is to acquire anything. Ma'ezer Sashem, he speaks about it being a light. We should be zocha that the light of the Chanukah lech should really illuminate us and it should be impetus for growth and change. Does anyone have questions or comments?
It's similar to, I just heard it, I wish I remember from who, but in Al Hanisim we talk about the Melchamos, and like, why would we be thankful for a battle? Why is that something that's part of the tefillah?
Why would we be thankful for?
The Melchamos. When we say Al Hanisim,
okay.
We ask for miracles and all different types of miracles and all the Yeshuas. But also in the
Melchamos.
Like, why are we thankful for the battle? But like, the battle is part of.
Very
the
nice. Al Purkan, Val Gros, Val Chuas, Val Nechamos, Val Melchamos. Shasisa, Vasim, Brahma, Bismarck. It relates exactly. It's beautiful. The battles are part of what bring us to the Yeshua. Beautiful. Very, very nice. Thank you. Anything else? Okay, beautiful. We should have a lichtige Chanukah Sameach, a good Shabbos, and a Chodesh Tov to everybody.
And next Tuesday.